That's the one thing I was thinking about the other day while this is warming up. I mean, or cooling down. So you know, like how when like you're younger, like people are like, "Oh, if like you cross your eyes too long, they'll say stuck like that," or if you push your nose up like a pig, you'll get stuck like that. If you do it too much, or whatever the thing was, you know, if you do it too much, you get stuck like that. As an adult, I know all those are lies, and there's one that they never told us about that absolutely is real. And it happened to a friend of mine, and I found out the other day after seeing a video of him on Facebook that he's still suffering from. He saw the movie Anchorman when he was younger, and he started talking like Ron Burgundy and never stopped. Dude, like he got stuck there for, I think it's almost 20 years now. Still just talks like Ron Burgundy, bro. And that's the one parents should be like, don't talk like that too much. You get stuck like that. There's, it's not crossing your eyes too much or shit like that, dude. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 170 of the podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be looking at a newer 10 mil bloop RBR. I did a repair on this classic piece right here, this legendary 5x3 RBR that's full crushed opal. And then on the table, we got some Dolly and Picasso today. Well, those pivots, little turp cans. First stab of the day, I figured I'd prime myself with the pivot before I started getting into these bigger pieces off of quartz now, because I'm sure most of you know, if you've smoked electronic dab rigs or quartz nails, traditionally that quartz nail is going to hit you a little bit harder than that electronic rig. So priming myself before today's episode, because haven't smoked much this morning. My day was a little different today. I had to like get up, and typically my wife brings my daughter to school and do all that stuff, because I come to the shop at like 4 in the morning or 4:30s around there. But this morning I had the luxury of bringing my daughter to school, so I got to see my family this morning, so I wasn't smoking weed as soon as I woke up. I was doing parent stuff and husband stuff, which was actually a really, really nice change. As much as I love coming into the shop early and crushing, it was awesome to sit with my daughter while she had breakfast and take her to school and stuff. That was like such a luxury that I wish I had more time for. But it's crazy how much you got to work when you are a small business owner, and when you make something that's art and luxury and not something that's like a necessity. But yeah, but either way, awesome fucking morning. But first dab of the day, I'm feeling it. On the table here, we have a 10 millimeter bloop RBR in full color. This color is really unique here. This is coral over ghost, and it makes this pink, orange, and like little hints of purples and blues in it, depending on what light's hitting it. From your guys' perspective, it's probably going to look more of like a opal peach color. And then the accent color is this dense marina. And this dense marina looks so much like old school Calypso. That I accidentally called it that on the story post, but then, you know, when we sold it, we clarified the actual color, but I thought it was Calypso just because it's such a dense, rich blue. I love the foot on this thing. It's a half inch thick of glass, all beveled and sharp. You know, it's just, it's one of those pieces that, like, I wish I could have showed myself, like, years ago. Like, even though, like, I would say that this is more difficult of a build, and this is from 2021, there's like a level of precision and cleanliness in this piece that like I would love to show myself back in the day and be like, dude, you're gonna figure it out, dude. You're gonna get it. Not that this thing isn't crispy. Honestly, this was a full rebuild though. The only thing that's original on this piece is these three drains, but the perk, the can, and the mouthpiece are all brand new because that thing took a tumble and I recently repaired it for the customer. But I'm going to take a little dab on this guy right here. This was sold at our most recent Sunday sale, our May drop, which went really, really well. I appreciate all the support on that. Wasn't a huge drop, but there's still like 20-something colored pieces, and it sold out. People scooped them right up and are excited for more, so that really encourages me and the guys. Going into summer here, you know, spring is ending, summer is starting, and looking for the rest of the year, like our outlook on it, like that sale like made us all feel really encouraged, and it was awesome. So we really appreciate y'all supporting, coming out, buying the artwork, going in the live videos, watching the podcast. So thank you. I'm gonna warm this bad boy up, because now that pivot got me primed, now I'm feeling ready to smoke hash today. You know, I wanted to start with this right away, but I know I'm gonna take a bigger dab through that and rip it harder, so I'm gonna save that for a little bit later in the episode. Yeah, but right now, we're all just prepping up to get the, I mean, we're already working on the quartz, but that's like our main focus for the summer here, is just getting the whole quartz studio finished and built out. But it's been going really well. It's just one of those things that's like, we do a drop, we buy a couple more pieces of equipment and material, then we have to wait to the next drop, because being that we are a small business, we have to sell glass and artwork in order to buy more materials and tools to keep pursuing the next project, which is truly, it can be one of those things with like being patient can be difficult sometimes, but also it's really rewarding, because like we are clearly seeing like the hard work and energy, the support from you guys, and then what we do with it, like buying the materials, buying the equipment, like it's so like, it's almost like Roller Coaster Tycoon shit, you know? It's like more people are coming into your theme park, and then you get to buy more rides, and then more people come. It's just, it's like that natural progression of like building your little business and stuff. It's just, it's really rewarding when you're able to actually buy the tools and buy the equipment because people supported your work. But yeah, definitely excited to learn quartz. You're going to hear me talking about it pretty much all summer. It's going to be one of those things where it probably... Not maybe next episode we'll have some sample stuff we'll be playing around with, possibly. But if not the next one, definitely the one after that, we'll be showing off some fun sample stuff. There's just so much different shit you need to do quartz properly. It's different than Boro, and we can't use the same tools that we use on quartz. So all my hand tools, I had to buy all new hand tools. Like we have to use separate lathes, we have to use separate cold working equipment. Nothing can be cross contaminated because the boro will contaminate the quartz, vice versa. They'll both contaminate each other. By contaminations, I mean that if I were to take a quartz nail and cut it on a saw that I use for cutting like borosilicate, like what these rigs are made out of, and then I went to polish that nail, it would get imperfections and blemishes all over it, because there would be silica left from the boro that would transfer to the quartz and then be cooked on to it and give you a product that's, you know, second quality. One of the most difficult things that I'm learning about the quartz stuff is contaminants. Like, you really have to have the cleanest fucking work environment, clean tools, clean everything, because the quartz is really sensitive to getting contaminants. And it's funny, we do all this preventative work for contaminants, and someone gets it and throws a dab on it and then instantly contaminates it, because that hash is like inevitably just going to keep like contaminating every time you take a dab. Even if you clean your quartz really good, like shit just... it just instantly gets, you know, contaminated with different shit that, you know, is not supposed to be on there. But that's part of it. But holy fuck, I've been learning so much. And it's so interesting that, like, when I first started looking into quartz stuff, that, like, I was like, oh, this can't be that much different than Boro. We'll just be able to use all our same shit. And now, like, I've been like, oh my God, we have to buy brand new everything. Like, it took me 10 years to accumulate all this stuff. I'm like, oh my God. So super grateful for the support, because we wouldn't be able to be pursuing this next project without y'all buying glass, because the boro right now is paying for the quartz to be built up. But eventually, if the quartz works out and all of our new ideas for quartz, not just nails, all different things, if it works out, then it should be sustaining itself and the boro can go back to paying for itself. But right now, we are putting everything we got into that quartz setup so we can pursue all these new cool projects. Oh my God, so smooth. Hash is hitting a little harder right now though, because I like fried my sinuses and throat the other day and still recovering from that like 2 days ago. But hopefully this is my last day of, you know, the dabs being harder to consume. It's funny. It's like I've talked about before in here, but if like I get sick or something's going on, I just don't like smoke hash as much because I don't enjoy it as much. But I'm still smoking hash, even though fucking feeling like my sinuses don't want it. Like the body wants it, dude. The chillness of it. Even my wife, she's like, how do you smoke hash all day? I'm like, oh, how do you not? Said it a bunch of times to her. I'm like, how do you not? But it's one of those things, to each their own. My wife loves hash, but she's definitely not like a all day smoker like me, or she used to be when she was younger. But like everybody, you know, life changes, responsibilities change. You can't be smoking hash all day if you got a bunch of people relying on you. But luckily, my main thing people rely on me for is to produce artwork and just make the glass. So I have that luxury of being able to enjoy hash throughout the day and make artwork, which is like, seriously, feel really lucky that I get to do that. Oftentimes in my world, I don't see it like that. I'm just like stressed out with work and stuff and everything I get done. I'm like, fuck, all I do is work every day, all day. Like I have those emotions, those feelings. But then it's like when I try to step outside my own life and view it in the perspective of just the observer, I'm like, you know, pretty sick. Like, you know, that, I mean, especially for like the younger stoner me, if I would have told like Evan when he was like 20, 21, being like, bro, you're just going to smoke weed all day, drink coffee and make glass art, that, you know, being up on that roof carrying shingles wouldn't have seemed so shitty. I'd be like, all right, it's going to get better someday, dude. We're going to get out of here. We're going to be smoking weed all day and making bongs. We'll be fine. But yeah, these Blue Barbie R's, I'll tell you what, I've done them in the clear and the full color. This is one of the only full color ones. I really like the full color ones. Full color stuff just, it has a different feel to it because of the density and the weight, and just like everything's a little bit thicker because to keep color saturation and stuff, sometimes you have to make stuff a little bit thicker just to make sure you can maintain that rich color, because like anything, if the more you pull something down, the thinner it gets, you're actually watering down that color and you're having less saturation and less vibrance to it. So just the feel of the way these full color ones hit, though, I'm really stoked how this turned out. I can't wait for whoever got it. Can't wait for them to feel the function. Actually, bloop's nice too. Did the bloop cuts a little bit smaller to force it to bloop a little more. And I was like riding that line of like, if it bloops too hard, it's not going to drain as aggressive. But if like it doesn't bloop at all, then it doesn't have the sound that someone wants. Like all these different things you're trying to think about when you're building something. And that's one thing I've noticed too, is like you can really tell the people who are just making something just to make it, to make some money. And then you can tell the people who are like constantly like trying to make it better. Like they're actually using it and testing it and like, how do I make this better? Like constantly critiquing themselves. You know, you see it a lot in the progression of some people or companies. You just like, you can tell like where they just not like, I make RBRs all the time, so I might not look like I progress, but like the amount of refinement and energy I've put into these designs over the last 12 years, like there's been major progression. And honestly, every year, like even the guys that work for me, they'll even tell me, they're like, dude, like this work's getting so clean. Not that it wasn't clean before, but if you make this type of stuff and you make glass art, like you can notice certain things that have gotten like really clean, like certain types of welds or certain shaping or wall weight. There's like so much. And I'm just stoked at like where the work has gotten to, because now that like it's like a numbers game, like eventually only like the sickest work will be out there. And like the early part of my career when I was like learning and maybe stuff wasn't as clean or this or that, like I still see those pieces being appreciated so much, which warms my heart. I actually had one come in the other day for a repair that was from 2016, I think, or late 2015. And did the repair on it. Like I rebuilt the whole front of the piece and just used the original drain and stuff and made it all flow great and it all looked so good together. And I was like, you know what? My earlier work definitely was early work, but I'm still proud of what I was doing back then even. You know, when you first, like glass is like one of those things, is like a lot of people are interested in starting it or trying it. But then once you get into it, like some people either get it or they don't. It's like anything, I guess. Some people pick up music or they don't, or they pick up sports or they don't. Even if they have intent and love what it is, they just, not everyone, it's not for everyone. But glass is one of those things where it's like, man, it tests you. Like it's so unforgiving in every way, from the manufacturing process to conceptually trying to create something with this medium. It's very difficult to work with, as opposed to like if I was like a painter or something, like I can touch the paint, I can touch the canvas, I can hold the paintbrushes, I can manipulate this and that. With a glass, you can't touch it. It's over 1,000 degrees, so you have to use like other tools, and like there's just so many parts of it. It's like you really, really, I can't like touch this and hold this till it's like done. You know what I mean? While I'm making it, I'm essentially using other objects just to, and air and gravity just to have this thing turn into this, and then I can touch it when it's done. But yeah, you could get really philosophical about it, like anything. You could get philosophical about picking up dog shit, dude. You know, you're gonna over romanticize every little action in your life. But glass, I'll tell you what, it is special. There's something special about it. Like the other day, I was like super, super baked and like playing with this piece. And I was talking to one of my guys here, and I was like showing him the function test on this and showing him like the three tornadoes like ripping down it. He's like, "Oh, dude, we had three tornadoes in Colorado the other day." I was like, "Yeah, dude." And I was like, "We have them here all day, but I keep them trapped in silica prisons, bro. Like, just like way too stoned and overthinking or romanticizing the process here of just making a water tornado." But they truly are like controlled, trapped energy of a vortex within a silica prison. And this one just happens to be completely coated in opal as well to enhance flavor. Because, you know, that's what opals do, they increase the flavor of your dab. Just kidding. Don't you wish though? Sometimes you see people sell, not so much glass, but you see people selling certain products and they're advertising that this ingredient or this minor change does all this stuff. And it's like, nah, probably not. But it looks cool. Like that's the thing with like the tornadoes. It's like it's a cool water feature. It looks cool. It's visually fun. It looks cool in videos. It's a cool display of control of water, something that humans, you know, a human did or whatever. It's a cool thing like that. But as far as flavor and everything, it's just a water feature. It just looks cool. I look at most drains like a glorified splash guard. Like it's a way to control the energy and direction of the water so as not to go in your mouth when you're taking a rip. Now, of course, there's other ways of doing that, whether you have splash guards or like the shape of a piece that keeps the water down or the type of perk. But there's something fun about with recyclers when you just build them and your intent is to make that water rip through the entire piece and then make sure that only the smoke goes up at a certain point and the water keeps flowing down. Yeah, I feel like I'm like, even though I've made like thousands of recyclers and that's all I do, like I feel like still to this day, like I'm learning little bits about water flow and control and why I would shape something a certain way. And a lot of these things, like, you don't realize unless you're actually making the shit all day and smoking it. That's like, over the years, the main thing that's gotten me to calm down about all the import stuff and then remaking my work and then importing it into US and selling it. Like, at the end of the day, like, I know it might look similar. Like, it might look like it's an RBR. But I know that they're not smoking these things over in China and India. They're not even putting water in any of them to see if they're not, they don't care. As long as it looks like a car with four wheels, it's a car with four wheels. Doesn't matter the performance. None of that matters. Just buy it. It looks like the thing. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, you know what really matters is the performance. Like, I don't know if the RBR is the most desirable shape or aesthetically pleasing. It's a simple thing. But the performance in them is just something else. You could make a really bad version of an RBR and it's still gonna work great. That's what's incredible about the design itself, is that I've seen so many people remake the work over the years, and I've seen like the import companies and this and that, and I'm like, even if you do a shitty job, it still functions pretty good. But if you know what you're doing and like you have intent behind it and you're really trying to refine it and make it better, like you can make such a crazy functional recycler with real intent of smoker experience behind it, and not just the intent of let's try and sell and make a profit, let's just sell some shit, let's just sell as many as we can until they realize that they're just not the same thing. And I think that market's like infinite, because when I lived in New York City, like
you could go to like Soho and see like really high-end designer bags and stuff. And then you could go down to Chinatown and see knockoff versions of the Gucci bags and stuff like that. They're like, to the dumb skater kid like me, I was like, that looks the same as a Gucci bag. It's like the same thing. But someone that knows specifically what they're buying, like, it's not the same thing. The performance isn't the same. Now, I'm not saying that for bags. Maybe the cheap bag's just as good as the designer bag. I don't know. But for the glass, it's absolutely a different thing. All the import RBRs are made with molds. So they're thin. They're thin glass. You can't... They're not. You're not making thick glass with a mold. It's just Boro doesn't move like that. So it's thin glass, all mold work, so they're all exactly the same. Like, they're just printed out, basically. Whereas all the RBRs that are made here, there's no mold. There's general measurements to stay within certain parameters, so they fit in Pelicans or certain designs flow with the model number it's being printed, or like the model it's being sold underneath, like what it's called. But everything's completely like shaped without any sort of like molds or anything. It's just using calipers, fire, gravity, and a graphite paddle if needed. Yeah. And that's not to discredit the manufacturers in other countries either, because they've created a great system to manufacture what I do really quickly and efficiently and have it pretty close. But truly, at the end of the day, it's not the same thing. But I think there's space for both of us. I think there's space for the imports. Like, there's space for me just making my art. Just because I remember when I was that skater kid looking at the fake Gucci bags in Chinatown in New York City, being like, damn, dude, that Gucci belt would look sick. Like, I should get that knockoff one. Who cares? It's a knockoff. You know, it's the aspiration to maybe eventually have the real thing, you know? So that's how I've really, over the years, if anyone here is an artist that maybe has seen, not just glassblowers, all different people that are creators or small business owners or artists have made something that they've seen it remanufactured in another country for significantly cheaper. And I think that's really the big thing, is just knowing your worth and knowing your intent behind what you're creating or trying to offer people. If you're getting mad because someone figured it out before you and used your idea, like, I get that too. And that's kind of probably harder to get over, because you're like, fuck, I had a good idea. They took that from me because they had the resources to mass produce it. Like, I could never. And that happens to a lot of creators on the internet and stuff that make things that China goes, oh, we could totally do that. Like, we could make 1,000 of those scarves in a day, where that person has to make one a month. Like, but again, not the same thing either, though. But I don't know. There's a lot of days where I'm like crushing, and then I'll open fucking Instagram and just see someone leaving a comment being like, oh, like, you can get this same clear piece for this much. It's just not badged. And I'm like, and there's like this huge group of people out there that think that like I'm like this big company that's like ordering just from the same Chinese importer and then just putting labels on it. And I'm like, dude, you need to like, but again, if you're not out there constantly educating people, if I'm not constantly on Instagram, just like educating people about my glass and like showing them things and breaking it down and all these stuff, like, then people are going to make up their own information. Like, if they can't find the information, they will assume things. Just like if someone cuts you off, you're just going to assume they're an asshole because they cut you off. But if you're in the back of that car and you realize that person, like, their kid's choking, they're trying to get them to the emergency room or something's going on, like, Now you're like, oh fuck, like, let me move out of the way. Like, let's everyone get out of the way. They're trying to get to the, like, so, you know, the more information people have, then they can make, you know, the narrative maybe that fits what's actually happening better. But if, like me, if I'm not out there constantly educating people, then I have to just expect people to use what knowledge they have to build the narrative that they have about how glass is made. So pick your battles, I guess, right? Like, I'll do my podcast, I'll take dab videos on Instagram, and I'll show some things, but like, I'd rather be making the art all day than sitting on my phone all day trying to convince people that I make the art. You know, it's like, I'll just make it, and then if it's sick enough, then I don't need to do anything more than just enjoy what I'm doing and make the sickest shit. I think if I was someone that was importing work, which a lot of companies do, not just like Glasgow, I'm talking like people that sell like anything in America. A lot of people are buying stuff from out of the country and then they're redistributing in the US. Lots of people have their products manufactured in another country and then they sell it here. Like, that's normal. Those people, I can understand where they would get like mad and frustrated stuff. But with me, like, being that this is all made in-house, like, it's made, like, I show everything. So being that it's all, I don't even have to, like, I don't have to spend all that time trying to convince people my shit's worth it because I've put everything into it. Like, I know, I have the receipts. Like, I know what things are worth and what they cost to manufacture. But if you're someone that's getting it imported and you're charging up 1,000%, then you actually have to argue and educate people so you can convince them that it's worth what you're trying to sell. That's more my point. I have the luxury of just, I should just make art and smoke weed and show people how much fun I'm having. And because I'm never going to make enough of it to even beat China or any of them. Like, I don't make enough glass, not even close. What I make in a week, like, they make in a day or even faster, probably like a morning. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy how incredibly efficient some manufacturers are in other countries. Like, you got to respect that part too, where you're just like, damn, like, you saw value in what I was doing and you built this whole facility around it. Like, you saw value in something I was making in my mom and dad's basement in 2013. And you were like, yeah, we need to get a bunch of workers and a facility and molds made in China. Like, literally by 2013, I was seeing RBRs and honey jars on DH Gate and shit. And I was like, I've only been blowing glass 6 months. What's happening? And I was like, they saw so much of it. I'm in debt. I haven't even made any money yet. And these people are already manufacturing in China. How are they able to dedicate this sort of resources? How did they even notice me? I'm not even in the algorithm. Like, how did they even know I existed to be like, oh, there's value here. Let's build a factory and employ a bunch of people and make molds to manufacture this kid's stuff that he's making in his parents' basement. I mean, you got to respect that level of grind, but then it makes you go, is there really that slim pickings out there for people to make money? That, like, this niche industry, this really niche product within a niche industry, it's all so small, and, like, you guys see enough value in this to manufacture it in another country and make lots of them? It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Maybe I'm naive to how big the market really is. But, oh well, I'll be naive. That's fine. Maybe it's easier that way. Then it's always exciting. So like, oh, that's how things work? Fuck, I'm naive. I had no idea. I've had so many moments where I'm like, oh, I didn't know that's how it worked. Like the whole code enforcement thing when that happened, I was like, oh, I thought like if you had a property and owned it, you could like use it. It's, you know, but whatever. You know, you learn something new every day. Naive can be expensive though, because you can make choices and then not realize the repercussions and cost of those naive choices. But that's living, baby. That's growing up. That's how you really learn. That's raw dog in life. You know? I guess that's the idea of having teachers and mentors so they can help save you some time so you can do even better than them. I feel like we have less of those nowadays. I think everyone's just trying to sell you something. I don't think we have as many people. We have a lot more people now, but it doesn't seem like there's as many people trying to make sure the person younger than them does better than them. But what can you do? What can you do? I know what I can do. I can talk about this crushed opal piece now because we're getting off track with glass, talking a little bit about other shit that doesn't matter. All right. So this is a fade of Royal Jelly and Sunstone, and I almost guarantee this piece was on an episode in 2021. Positive it was. So it's really crazy to see it back here like 4 years later. 4 years ago, this one, I mean, there's so much crazy stuff that like I did differently back then. When I was rebuilding this piece the other day, I was noticing like how much stuff I completely made by hand and didn't use the lathe even on this. And I had my lathe at this point, but I wasn't comfortable enough on the lathe to make certain parts. I'd rather do it by hand back then because I was more skilled by hand. I just wasn't comfortable enough on the machine to do certain things. I thought I would ruin the piece. Now I'm so comfortable on the lathe that like when I'm doing repairs and doing stuff, I'm able to repair stuff in a way where it's like seamless, like, and I can make everything super precise and just, it's just really cool to see this piece back and the function too. I'm better at taking dabs now, not today. Today I'm still off, the sinuses are a little swollen, but I will say back in 2021, because I took a dab on this yesterday and took a video of it, And then I went back to my videos from 2021 and I was like, oh dude, I've gotten so much better at smoking hash. Like this thing, I'm able to rip it for a while and have all the tornadoes going at the same time. And like, yeah. Whereas in 2021, I could tell, I was like, I could get enough of a pull to get it started. And then I was like out of breath already, which might even happen right now. 'Cause like I said, I'm feeling not 100%, but I'll show you guys some function on this, the little triple drain here. This is like one of the only triple drains I ever did where it was like kicked out to the side with the middle one. Usually they were all stacked on top of each other, but on this one, I wanted to really like kick the water back and forth and almost like zigzag it down it instead of just having it falling vertically through them all. So check this out. It's like so crazy watching the water when you're initially pulling it fall into this one, and then like when you step back and let it finish draining, like how aggressive the bottom drain gets as it's like finishing the drain. Just super fun to watch. What was cool about this piece too is like the sunstone marble and the royal jelly marble, like these are essentially like slurper marbles I welded to the tops of the drains as accent. There's just so much opal in this thing. It was like, it was definitely, still is, but back when I first made this, it was a statement piece because it was like, it's a fade of these two really rare colors, royal jelly and sunstone, which just complement each other so well. And then full crushed opal. This was the biggest crushed opal sections I had ever done. Might still be the biggest crushed opal sections I've ever done because it's, when it's a fade, it's one solid section. You can't have it like split up. Whereas like other big crushed opal pieces I've done, one section's the foot and one section's here, and I weld them right here. So making it kind of easier to manage the piece when you're building it. But this piece, because it's a fade, it had to be one big section of tubing shaped all at once. So back in the day, it was like a crazy challenge. It was such a huge piece of crushed opal, so much opal to keep warm without it checking. And just the type of welds in this. It's just, it's really cool to just see the progression, but see also like where I was really pushing the boundaries back then as well with crushed opal and these colors that no one was putting crushed opal over royal jelly or sunstone. I don't even know if anyone else has ever done sunstone crushed opal. I've done it a couple times, but a lot of people, especially newer collectors, they don't realize is that from like 2018 to like 2022, like I was doing crazy amounts of crushed opal. Like we put crushed opal over every color you could think of. Then we started mixing colors, making our own colors, and putting crushed opal. Like I think Bear Mountain Studios, me, but it's a team. So like us as a team, like we've put more crushed opal over. We've put. I think I'm gonna claim that we've put crushed opal over more colors than anyone out there. Just because we were lucky enough to have like collectors in a market that would buy crushed opal pieces because crushed opal pieces are expensive. I mean, in this piece right here, probably over $400 in just raw opal, and then not including the bear paws. And then you gotta put it into the color, which is so much time. There's so much time in prepping this before you even get to shape it. Just to get the tubing to have faded out full crushed opal tubing in sections this big. Even new people, when they come here and work with us and start prepping color, they're making sections of color and they're like, this is a huge section of color. Most people are making small sections of color and welding them all together and this and that. And now, like here, we make like big sections of color, like 1/2 pound, 3/4 of a pound sections of color, which even that alone is like, it's a huge task to make consistent, smooth, big batches of color tubing. That's like tubing you, color you can't even buy in tubing form, first of all. And then there's mixes we make that you can't get anywhere, that you'd have to know the ratios of which we're mixing which colors to create that shade. So besides the function at Bear Mountain, there's just been so much time put into just the color theory here. Like literally a decade of just. Not even stuff that we were like. I used to post color a lot back in the day where I would just show like tubes and be like, next drop, I'm gonna use this to make this, or look at this crazy color combo and get people excited about the specific colors, which I should probably do more nowadays. But you know, there's so many facets of Bear Mountain Studios where there's insane amounts of time put. It's not just the performance, it's not just the aesthetic or the overall user experience. But the literal colors we're using, it's like when you look at companies that do like exotic, like high-end cars, it's like the paint they're using in that car too is just like insane. You wouldn't even see it on a normal car. We're like the same thing with glass. Like, yeah, you're gonna get the performance, of course, that's what we're known for, but we're also gonna like put a color on there that you can't get anywhere. And even if it was like a color that you could get, like a more basic color, the way we prep it, it's gonna be so smooth and seamless. It's gonna look like it's like furnace pulled tubing or something. It's not gonna look like hand prepped, because we do all the color here is hand prepped, like raw, hand prepped color. It's not, we're not dipping in furnaces yet. Like, we have the crucibles and stuff. That's a whole nother fuck. And I've talked about this a year ago, but that's a whole nother end of the business where we're trying to pursue that to making the fucking color tubing and having furnaces going. But everything is so much work and so expensive that I have to be patient so as not to hurt other projects I'm currently working on and not spread myself too thin, which is a challenge because I keep getting older and there's so much I want to do with glass and there's so little time, but I'm also a dad and a husband. So it's like, fuck, dude, that's why I have to get in here at 4 in the morning. Because if I want to pursue all these crazy ideas, I need a crazy amount of time. But also, if I want to afford to pursue all these crazy ideas, I need a crazy amount of capital, which means I got to work a lot to get a lot of capital to pay for all the ideas. And then there's people that are just like working because they want to buy the mansion or the fancy car. And I'm just like, dude, I just really want this idea. Like, I think the mansions and the fancy cars will just come if you just, whatever you're doing, like, that will be a side effect of how passionate you are about what you're doing and how much you love what you're doing. I'll be like, oh shit, like, I guess we're successful now. Should we get a nicer house? I don't know. Like, it's not necessarily our goals, but like, our goals is just keep making the studio nicer and pursue all the glass projects. It's funny, I wonder if when I'm like older, if I'm gonna be kind of like this guy that just has like a pile of ideas and maybe a not a lot of like real money or whatever, because I put everything into like creating the thing, but I have the experiences and the artwork and the memories, I guess. I think it's just gonna it's And I think most people that are small business owner will feel this. They're like, yeah, like, even if the business is successful, like, it's gonna take everything I got just to keep that business going. Like, even if you have a successful restaurant, it takes you being there every day and putting everything you got into it to keep that shit going. Like, oftentimes a lot of businesses that are a passion business based thing, like an art form or a restaurant or whatever you're doing, like, the success is ultimately up to like how long the person who started it is willing to keep working. Like, as soon as you walk away and try to hand it over to other people to run it, it's when like some businesses are able to do it really seamlessly and do well with it. But like a lot of these like more like niche, like hands-on creative based businesses, like it really takes the person that started it all to be there and do it. Yeah. And I want to be here doing it. But I think my wife and daughter would be stoked if I was here a little bit less. They really liked me helping this morning. My wife even told me, she was like, oh my gosh, it was so helpful having you at the house in the morning, helping with all the animals, feeding everybody, giving the cat his insulin, getting Estelle ready for school, water the front yard, just do all the things that she has to do by herself normally. I feel bad she has to do it by herself, but it's like we all have shit we have to do. Like, I'm fucking getting in here really early and crushing. And it's not like it's a bad thing. Like, I love crushing, but it's just like what I have to do. Like, I made a choice back when code enforcement came in that my choice was either shut down shop or go hard and just go for it. And I chose to go for it, which means that I now have to be responsible and crush to keep paying for it. So, which is, it's all choices. Once you start realizing everything's just choices and, it doesn't suck any less, but it definitely doesn't feel as heavy. You're just like, oh, I just made a choice like a year ago or 2 years ago. Now I have to handle it because I made that choice. Instead of feeling like, oh, woe is me, all this shit happened. So hard being me. No, it's just choices. I'm gonna take a dab on this now. Talk more about it. And all things glass related. Forgot to dip this after that last dab. So, another thing. Talked to Puffco the other day in a little Zoom meeting. I don't think I talked about this on here yet. We had like a little Zoom meeting talking about stuff. And they really want us at PuffCon. So I think that we are going to be at PuffCon is what it sounds like. Now, they were like, oh, like, you bring stuff, have a whole booth and sell stuff. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I don't need to go and have like a whole booth selling stuff. I'd rather have a booth with just crazy Puffco shit for people to try. Are people allowed to smoke there? And they're like, oh yeah, it's like fruit consumption everywhere, every booth, whatever you want. Like, it's all fair. I'm like, all right, cool. I was like, well then I'm going to go and I'll have a few things for sale, but I'm not going to make that the intent behind the booth. I think the intent behind the booth will be, let's have like the craziest shit to smoke, like bring the Terp Saber, because we're going to have probably someone drive out, maybe bring like a giant bong or something. I don't know. But like, I want to bring a bunch of fun stuff that we can hook like all the different Puffco things to and do like shenanigans and funny videos and just make some memories with some stoners out there at PuffCon in October. But also too, while we're like, I don't feel a need to bring a bunch of stuff to sell because, someone is going to have a booth there that their whole thing is they make import versions of Bear Mountain stuff. So I'm like, why would I bring a booth to sell a bunch of shit when like right down the way is going to be the guy that does all the knockoffs of our stuff? Like, how about I just bring a bunch of fun shit and we have a fun time and then he can make money selling knockoffs. That's fine. Like, there's no reason to play that game. So I'm going to set my booth up not as a retail spot so much. Like, I'll have a few things, probably like a few full color things or some pivot tops or something, but it's going to be more there where people come up and want to try or get a video with the Terp Saber or get a video with like that crazy thing that I can clip a bunch of puff coats to and put it into a bong. Like, I'm going to build new stuff though for the event, like bigger, crazier shit, but I'm going to make it more about an experience booth and less about a shopping area. You know, just because, like, because my wife, she didn't even really want to go. She's like, oh, if that company is going to be there, because they've already, like, this specific company, like, has done some goofy shit with us. And I don't even know these people. I've never said anything about them. I won't even say their name because I don't want, you know, anything to do with them. But they are an import brand. They're not American glassblowers. They work with a really big Chinese glass manufacturer and they buy work off our Sunday sales and they send it to China and then they remake it there and mold. They make molds and stuff and, you know, it's fun. So I'm like, yeah, I was like, we'll go so we can have a presence there so we can represent. I was like, but I'm not going to go there and try to set up a whole booth and like, you know, respectfully, like, just push people to their booth. Like, I'm gonna bring people to our booth to enjoy some stuff, to have some fun, and not just sit there and try to be sold some shit. Now, if they want to buy something, yes, I'll have a couple things, but I'm not gonna be shoving that down their throat. I'm gonna be like, hey, try the Terp Saber, get a video with it. Can you hit 5 Puffcos at once and a fucking pivot? And, you know, like, maybe make a crazy gas mask that a bunch of Puffcos clip to. Like, just, I want to make some shit, you know, some fun stuff. So, I think we're gonna be there in October. Is what it looks like. And then also 7/10, there's some big stuff happening up in Denver with Puffco that they want us to be part of at this like lounge thing that they're going to be doing a whole event at. So we'll probably be at, so if you guys follow Puffco and all the things they're doing, they'll probably be announcing that here very, very soon for their 7/10 event in Denver, which you will be able to find me there with some new crazy shit. Cause I think they're doing a new product release or something. So, but yeah, a lot of fun projects with them coming up because, man, it's crazy how many people smoke the electronic dab rigs nowadays. Kind of blows me away. Now, it doesn't blow me away because I think they're great. Like, I fucking smoke Puffco every day just because that's what, like, me and my wife prefer at the house because at night, like, when the kiddo's finally gone to bed and shit, and you want to take a dab, the torch is so loud and stuff, and it's, like, having a hot nail. It's just, like, it just seems dangerous to have, like, sometimes, depending on, like, your living situation or how you have things set up, it can be a little more dangerous than just having an electronic rig. You just click the button twice, and then just take a little dab, and then go back inside and play some video games and chill. Whereas, like, the rig, like, it's hard to, like, bring all that outside or whatever, wherever you like to smoke. So it's, like, respectful to whoever's in your home. You know, teach their own. But the point is I think the e-rigs have their place, just like nails have their place. And I smoke the Puffcos every day, so I think it's a great product. So I'm excited to work with them. But man, there's so many people that smoke those fucking things nowadays. I think the majority of new smokers, there's more new smokers nowadays that their first smoking experience was hitting a pen. You know, they didn't fucking smoke weed through an apple or like pop some holes through a fucking soda can and make a little fucking dry pipe. So many people just hit a pen at a party or something. And truthfully, I think when I started dabbing, a lot of people that didn't like dabbing, it was because they had a bad first time dabbing experience. They like took too hot of a dab, had a panic attack, or they fried their throat. People that are their first experience with hash that are hitting like pens or a Puffco are probably, in my opinion, having a better probably first time experience just because they have a lower probability of having that discomfort of a very hot dab or too big of a dab, which you can very easily do on a quartz nail. With a Puffco, in my opinion, it's difficult to take too big of a dab. Like, your friend's not going to ninja dab you on a Puffco unless you got a bare mountain with a fucking nail on top of it. You know what I mean? A lot of people, their first time dabbing, they get ninja dabbed or something, and everyone's like, that's so funny. But now you're having a panic attack and you're not having fun. And you're like, I'm never doing that again. Fuck fucking, just fuck dabbing or even fuck weed altogether. Some people, you know what I mean? So I think that the e-rigs are actually almost like opening doors for like people who want to maybe consume cannabis in a concentrated form, because it's a little bit more friendly of a delivery system if you're not super educated. And if you are super educated, it's a great delivery system because you find where its purposes are the best. Like at home, if you have like kids or something and you wanted to go, you know, take a quick hit once everyone's gone to bed or something, or maybe you're on a tr you're traveling and it's just so much easier to have your Pivot or like a Puffco device on you. There's so many options where even just like watching movies at night. Like I remember back in the day before my daughter was born, we'd be like watching movies and like we'd have to pause it while I warmed up the nail because it's just like, and my wife's like, all right, well, I guess we'll pause it since you're taking another dab. Now I can watch a movie and just take dabs the whole time, you know, because it's not bothering anybody, besides obviously the smell and smoke. But my point is that I think that like these devices absolutely have a place in our industry, and like there's a reason why so many more people are smoking those nowadays than the nails and stuff. I mean, you can get like a Puffco for the price of a fucking nail. Like just the nail is so expensive, like a quartz nail. That's one reason we wanted to get into quartz, because I think we can offer a really great product for a better price and be made in America. But yeah, it's just crazy. Crazy, like how much my eyes have been open to the people that use the electronic rigs. I'm like, holy cow, there's a lot of you fuckers. Jesus. I was like, it's great. Like, it's cool because hash will live on, the events will keep growing, and we can keep. Because back from like 2012 to 2017, like there was something happening in the movement of like the weed and cannabis thing. Man, it was so fun. And like Colorado, California, all these states that were getting like med and rec, like just the energy and the people. Everyone was coming here and moving here. Everyone had ideas. Everyone had a company. Everyone had a gallery. Everyone had this and that. And then things kind of dipped. And now we're in this point of things are building up again, but it's building up a little differently. You know, we don't have the titanium swings or the domeless titanium nails. It's like, no, now we have the Jolly Rogers and the Puffcos instead of the Task Rock and the highly educated. Like, not saying those companies aren't still crushing, but I'm just saying I'm seeing a changing of the guard and a switch of the zeitgeist of like the people who consume concentrates or cannabis and what their base knowledge is on how all of this shit works. Like I'm seeing all of it like shifting, and I'm realizing that I'm growing up. It's really wild. Like I'm like, oh man, I'm like a grown up stoner now. What the fuck happened, dude? I've been like just making pipes and smoking hash in my studio for over a decade, and the world changed, and it kept happening, and like. And this whole time, I've had this amazing group of people that still are just right alongside me, like supporting, like watching the pod, like reaching out to me and communicating with like ideas. And so I'm like, this is crazy that like there's some of us, literally, there's like people that follow me that like have been following me since the beginning that have like grown up with Bear Mountain. They were like in high school, like following it, and then they turned 18, and then they got their first rig, and they've been like buying stuff this whole time. And I'm like, that's crazy, dude. That's such a it's such a unique connection. Just because the way how like small and homegrown this whole company is, and the art form and the artwork itself, like it's just, it's so special that I really want to find a way to keep reminding myself how special it is. Because it's like when you grind super hard, sometimes you just get caught up in the war and you stop remembering why you're fighting it, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like you're just in the battle. You're not even thinking about why you're there. You're just in it. Take a dab on this to finish out today's episode. And be way too stoned off this thing. This thing's a beast. It feels so effortless to compare to some of these bigger fucking pieces I've made in the past couple years, though, I'll tell you that. Two torches. We'll speed it up. Yeah, it's crazy. Like this piece just seems like I made it like yesterday. 2021 just seems like the other day. Like what happened, dude? Fuck, man. 2025 now and we're in it. We didn't just start, we're in it now. I'm still fucking blowing glass. Like even this morning walking around the studio, I'm just like, dude, this is crazy. Like I'm always just on my torch, like grinding, so sometimes it's hard to sit back and, you know, appreciate everything. Because usually it's like if I sit back and do that, I start getting anxiety about all the things I haven't completed or things that have to be done or what the studio needs or we're low on this material. Or, you know, there's days here where I feel like a parent with not enough money to buy food for the kids because some of my guys are looking at me like, oh, we're out of this, we're out of that. And I'm like, okay, I'll get some more at the store tomorrow. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. And glass has gotten so much more expensive to do, not just because we've expanded and have all this overhead, but because of our material costs and everything have gone through the roof. I'm like, my God, what people were charging for pipes back in the day didn't make sense, but nowadays it would with the cost of everything. Back in the days of 2015 and the fucking two-hole perks and a single-colored mini tube for $1,000, that didn't make sense on any manufacturing end. That was fucking fully hype. But nowadays, I could break that down and probably make a $1,000 mini tube that's a single color and a two-hole diffy. Actually, I can break it down and make sense if you want to pay someone $25 an hour. Like, you know, it's nuts. I think the price has skyrocketed and, you know, probably good they did that back then. So nowadays, like, it makes sense because we haven't changed our prices since back then. But, man, it's wild. That's the one thing I was thinking about the other day while this was warming up. I mean, or cooling down. So, you know, like how when like you're younger, like people are like, oh, if like you cross your eyes too long, they'll say stuck like that. Or if you push your nose up like a pig, you'll get stuck like that if you do it too much or whatever the thing was. You know, if you do it too much, you get stuck like that. As an adult, I know all those are lies. And there's one that they never told us about that absolutely is real. And it happened to a friend of mine, and I found out the other day after seeing a video of him on Facebook that he's still suffering from. He saw the movie Anchorman when he was younger, and he started talking like Ron Burgundy and never stopped. Dude, like he got stuck there for, I think it's almost 20 years now. Still just talks like Ron Burgundy, bro. And that's the one parents should be on. Like, don't talk like that too much. You get stuck like that. It's not crossing your eyes too much or shit like that, dude. That seems tall. A little low. A little low, but she's a ripper. Oh my God. Though I will say Anchorman, one of my favorite movies when I was younger, dude. So fun. I love all the Will Ferrell shit. But the only reason I brought that up is because I literally saw a parent say it to, not my daughter, but one of my daughter's friends the other day. If you do that, it's going to get stuck like that. And I sat there and thought to myself, I'm like, have I ever met an adult that got stuck like that? Like, why are we telling the kids this? And then I saw a video of my friend the other day. And I was like, oh my God, that is real, but it's not what the thing they're not thinking about. It's like, don't talk like that. You'll get stuck like that. Oh, man. But this was fun. Tried to keep it glass heavy again. I think I did pretty okay with it. Little bits of rants, but we tried to stay on topic, which was the pieces in front of us and Bear Mountain Studios, because that's what this is. And as much as the past 6 years have been a digital diary, I got to remember why we're here too. And that's to share knowledge about the glass so that future buyers or current buyers, collectors, know what's going on. So I'm not leaving up the narrative up to people who don't have enough information. And if they don't have enough information, it's not on them. If I haven't put out adequate amount of information, it's on me. You can put out all the information you want and still have people make up narratives about you, and that's fine. But those are the ones you don't have to get upset about, because that was their choice. You put all the information out, they decided not to consume it and use it in their, you know, perspective on what you're doing. But man, fun one today. Hope you all have a great day. We have a drop coming up sometime in the beginning of June and probably at the end of June. May was a small drop month, but June we're going to have some really big full color drops and some new clear products coming out. And some big announcements for upcoming events this year. So be on the lookout for all that. If you want to be really tapped into all that, you're going to want to go to bmsglass.com, sign up for our newsletter there. That way my wife can send you emails, information about everything happening, including like podcast updates, when new episodes are dropping, price lists on upcoming drops, what we'll be having, what to look out for, tips and tricks on how to scoop your piece quicker than the next person, because some of these pieces sell really quickly and it's kind of competitive. It just depends what you're going for. And yeah, I hope y'all have a great day. This is episode 170 of the What's Up Everybody podcast. Thanks, guys.